Good evening and welcome to worship on this Easter Sunday evening. We'd like to begin our worship with the singing of number 377. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let's sing all four stanzas, number 377. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. In the company of the upright and in the congregation, great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is His work, and His righteousness endures forever. He has caused His wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear Him. He remembers His covenant forever. Let us bow in silent prayer before God. Beloved, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. Receive His greeting. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from Him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits that are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from among the dead, and the ruler of the kings of earth. Amen. Our song of praise, number 159, O Lord of hosts, how lovely. Number 159. Let's recite together the words of the Nicene Creed, found on page 4 in the back of your hymnals, in the second of the three ecumenical creeds, in the Creed of Nicaea. Let each of us say with hearts and with our mouths, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And He shall come again with glory, to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church, I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our prophetic reading this Sunday night from Malachi, the third chapter, Malachi 3, beginning at verse 6. Malachi, the third chapter, at verse 6, where the Bible says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, 'How shall we return?' Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, 'How have we robbed you?' In your tithes and contributions, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need, I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, 'How have we spoken against you?' You have said, 'It is vain to serve God.' What is the profit of our keeping His charge, or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test, and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before Him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed His name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve Him." Number 96, "So God, the God that saveth me," let's sing all six stanzas of number 96. this time, let us join our hearts in prayer to God and conclude our evening prayer with the Lord's Prayer in unison tonight. Let us pray. Almighty God, Thy throne has justice for its cornerstone and shines bright before Thy faith. Before Thy face are truth and love and boundless grace. Lord, we see that truth in Your Word, for Your Word is truth. Your Word tells us plainly about our sin, about our waywardness, about our failure to keep Your statutes, about Your covenant people who break covenant. And Your Word tells us about the truth of Your constancy, Your faithfulness. Lord, the fact that not one letter, not one dot, not one iota falls to the ground of all that You promise. And Lord, we praise You for being the God who changes not. And because You are forever the same, forever faithful, forever abounding in loving kindness, and forever punishing sin that is not repented of, Lord, for all these things, for all these facts of Your unchanging character, we are not consumed. Lord, we depend upon Your mercy. Lord, not to give us what we actually deserve. Your wrath and Your judgment. And we depend upon Your grace, giving to us what we can never deserve. The forgiveness of sin. Reconciliation through the blood of Christ. And the invitation to approach Your throne of grace that we may receive help in our time of need. Lord, the last month has taught us what a little thing can bring the whole house of cards falling down. And Lord, what our response as mankind, and how that response can make things worse. And Lord, we pray that we may have been humbled in our hearts, for You humble all our pride. And when we begin to boast, when we begin to be self-confident, when we forget reliance upon You, Lord, You have a way of reminding us again that all things come from You. We thank You for our daily lives. We thank You, Lord, for livelihoods, for our jobs. And we pray, Lord, that in these times You will supply the need, the daily bread of all who look to You in faith. Provide, Lord, for small businesses, for business owners. Provide for large businesses. Provide, Lord, for the economy. And we pray that things may return back to normal activity again soon. Lord, we join in prayer, humbling our hearts before You, praying for an end to our present crisis, praying for an end to the state of emergency, and we pray that restrictions on meeting may soon be lifted. And we pray, Lord, that You will give political leaders the will to challenge the nation to return to work and all the activities of daily life. Give us leaders, Lord, who challenge us to live by faith and make decisions based on faith, not fear, and decisions based on facts and not on details that are hyped. Lord, we pray that we may live soberly, that we may live reverently. And Lord, we pray that this may teach us all again that the breath in our mouths that the beating of our hearts, that the coursing of the blood through our veins, Lord, is by Your enabling, by Your permission, that it is there by Your will, that You uphold all things. Lord, give our leadership courage to truly lead as they must at this time. Give them wisdom. We pray that You would give us also, Lord, the ability not to fret over things that are not under our control, Lord, but to submit. Lord, we pray for churches and for charities at this time. We pray that You provide for their needs. We pray, Lord, for our missionaries and for their work. We pray that these times may present opportunities too for the gospel in Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that You will provide for our needs. As Christ taught us all to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The song before the sermon this evening, number 314, Come, Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Let's sing the three stanzas of number 314. Turning in the back of our hymnals to page 62, Lord's Day 50. The fourth request, give us this day our daily bread. What does the fourth request mean? And let us answer all together in unison. Give us this day our daily bread means, do take care of all our physical needs, so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry, nor your gifts, can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put our trust in you alone. And turning in the Word of God to Psalm 37. The heading in the ESV is, He will not forsake His saints. Psalm 37. There the Bible says, Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have abundance. But the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good, so shall you dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice, he will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree. But he passed away. And behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless and behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace. But transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. It is this scripture, this Psalm 37, in light of the teaching of Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 50, that we have as our concentration and the foundation for our sermon tonight. God, the fountain of all good. The secret of a quiet spirit, the superior standing of the righteous, and the saints' reliance on the divine fountain. Dear people of God, the fourth petition of the prayer Christ taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," is amazing in its placement, its purpose, and the principles that it teaches us about living a godly life. First, regarding the placement of this petition. Here is an intro this evening. It should not escape any of us that this petition concerning daily bread is fourth. It follows petitions, "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done." We understand this overwhelming, overriding reason that we pray for daily bread is so that we can honor God's name, work for the coming of God's kingdom, and obey God's will on earth as it is done in heaven. That's why we earnestly pray for daily bread, so that we can fulfill the first three petitions that we have prayed. And we must never forget the fact that this petition is in the fourth place, and therefore it is subservient to those three higher, prior petitions which preceded. That's the placement. Second, regarding the purpose of this petition, God's purpose in this fourth petition is to remind us and assure us that He, though He is Spirit, God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. We know this. But though God is Spirit, God teaches us by this petition that He is nonetheless and no less the God of the physical world as well. He is the creator and provider of all things physical, and is therefore properly petitioned with regard to any and every physical need that we can have in life. For in teaching us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, is using what we call a synecdoche. That is one symbolic word to represent the whole of things. In some parts of the country, here in the USA, they use the word Coke in this way to represent any kind of soft drink. Would you like a Coke? But if you said yes, don't automatically assume that you're going to be served Coca-Cola. It might be Sprite or 7-Up or orange soda or Dr. Pepper. And many of you still remember the 60s and 70s when bread meant money and threads meant clothes. You see, so bread in this petition stands for all that we need to sustain life. And what a wonderful petition this is in the very center of the prayer that Christ taught us to pray. Our Heavenly Father obviously knows where you and I live. As He put this at the center of the prayer, He knows what we need even before we ask Him. So that's the purpose of this petition, to teach us that God is in charge of all things physical as well as spiritual. Third, regarding the principle of this petition, it places all of us in a position of dependence upon God. We are not our own and we cannot survive on our own. Our daily existence and our well-being depend on God above and His constant care and love. And we are being reminded of that in unique ways at this present time. Our Heavenly Father knows that it is good for His children to be constantly asking Him, "Give us this day our daily bread." And so Christ has taught us to pray. In connection with Psalm 37 tonight, our first point is the secret of a quiet spirit. It is very interesting and instructive to study the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism on the fourth petition in connection with a specific passage of Scripture. And we do so tonight in connection with Psalm 37. The first 11 verses of this psalm reveal the secret of a quiet spirit. In these 11 verses, faith in God is contrasted with fretting. Fretting about circumstances. And it seems to me that there's a lot of fretting going on right now in many corners and in many circles and in the hearts of many people. The psalmist begins with the words, "Fret not yourself." And this instruction is given three times. Fret not. For you see, without faith in God, it is natural for man to fret. It is natural for man to always have a disquieted spirit. It is natural for us to be overwhelmed with a sense that all is not well. Things are not right exactly. And therefore we begin to get upset about the way things are. In the psalm, the wicked prosper, the righteous suffer often. But without faith in God, it is man's nature to fret. And of course, we fret about the coronavirus. We fret about the government response and prohibitions regarding the virus. We fret about the economy. We fret about the consequences and so on. It is natural also for us to fret about injustices done to ourselves and injustices that we see in society at large. We fret when evil people and evil policies prosper and appear to win the day. And all this just gets to us. All our fretting in these and countless other ways can have a very embittering effect on our heart and rob us of the blessedness of God. And so we must be redirected again and reminded, what has Christ taught us? Give us this day our daily bread. Here is the secret of a quiet spirit. Look to God and not to others. Look to God and not to circumstances. Look vertically and not horizontally. Look up and not over your shoulder. What God in His providence has given to another is between Him and them. But look carefully to what God, in fact, has given to you. Your trade, your career, your business, your home, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, your family, your friends, your church home. Has not God been good to you? Yes, He has. Will not He who has been so good to you thus far prove Himself even better to you in the future? at the fulfillment of all things. For you are God's child, and the best is yet to come. Is God not your Father who is in heaven? Then trust in the Lord, delight yourself in the Lord, commit your way to the Lord, be still before the Lord. Be still and know that He is God. Wait patiently for Him. This is the secret of a quiet spirit. Why did Christ teach us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"? The Catechism says to help us give up our trust in creatures. We need help in that, don't we? To give up our trust in ourselves, to give up our trust in the economy, to give up our trust in our investments. To give up our trust in all our own accomplishments, in all our own possessions. To give up trust in all of these and to put our trust in God alone. Yes, we need help in that. And to that end, we're taught to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." It's as simple and as profound as that. Those who do enjoy these promises of God will dwell in the land and enjoy God's protection. Your heavenly Father will give you the desires of your heart, the psalmist says. God Himself will make the righteousness of your cause shine like the noonday sun. This is my child, and he is living for me under my care. And so we move in this psalm to the superior standing of the righteous. It's the standing of those who are blessed. Throughout Psalm 37, the way of the wicked is contrasted with the way of the righteous over and over again. In fact, the Bible teaches that these are the only two ways. And every one of us is either walking in one way or another. The way of the wicked or the way of the righteous. There's only these two ways to live. It is not that the wicked have so little and the righteous have so much. In fact, very often, it may just seem the opposite. Amazingly, Psalm 37 addresses this very fact when it says, "Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked." How can a little be better than a lot? The answer, it all hinges on God's blessing and your relationship to God. The little the righteous have, they receive as from a Father's hand. A heavenly Father, they give God thanks because they receive it from Him and soon look to Him again for more, for they know where everything that they have and enjoy come from. The little the righteous has binds them in close communion with God, and in that communion they are blessed. And this is precisely what Jesus teaches the righteous in this petition to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. What we see is just the opposite chain of events set up when it comes to the wealth and the abundance of the wicked. For instead of drawing them closer to God, each possession, each thing accumulated by the wicked is added to the wall of things that separates them from God. Every added possession makes them feel more proud and self-sufficient. Instead of looking to God to supply their needs day by day, they look to their own cleverness, their own ingenuity, their own investments, their own assets. Instead of thanking God for their success, they congratulate themselves on their own shrewdness. In the process of heaping up their wealth, the wicked man becomes increasingly alienated from God. The God who alone can give true satisfaction and sustenance of soul and settledness of heart and security of mind and true satisfaction in all areas of life. And to lack this blessedness of God is actually to live each day under God's curse. To have a lot without God just means you have more to curse, more to go wrong, more to cause you misery, more to separate you from the one who is rightly the Lord of all life. So the fourth petition Jesus taught us to pray keeps us walking in the way of the righteous. For it constantly reminds us from whom all blessings flow, upon whom we continually depend, and to whom we owe our heartfelt thanks. To pray this petition is relationship building in that precious relationship with Almighty God, our Father. There is blessing, therefore. The little the righteous has is better than the abundance of many wicked. What then is the superior standing of the righteous? It is blessedness, which only God can give. What are we really saying when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"? The Catechism answers that neither our work and worry nor our gifts, you see, nor all our abundance, nor all our wealth can do us any good without your blessing. This is the superior standing the righteous have. Psalm 37 reminds us that though the wicked may stand tall, their stand is temporary because they lack such blessing. Like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. For evil men will be cut off, and a little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. The Lord laughs at the wicked, for He knows their day is coming. Their swords will eventually pierce their own hearts. The power of the wicked will be broken. The wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the fields. They will vanish like smoke. Those the Lord curses will be cut off. All of these statements from Psalm 37. By contrast, the psalmist celebrates the superior standing of the righteous. Though seemingly smaller, much smaller in the scheme of things, the standing of the righteous is eternally secure because they stand under God's blessing. Yes, the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. The days of the blameless are known to the Lord. Their inheritance will endure forever. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land. The Lord delights in the way of the man whose steps He has made firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall headlong, for the Lord holds him with His own hand. Where do you stand when you look at your life? With the Lord or without Him, with the righteous or the wicked, do you know the blessedness of those who beseech God from their hearts, praying, "Give us this day our daily bread"? Finally, from this psalm, the reliance the saints have on the divine fountain. In the Belgic Confession of Faith, Article 1, we profess that there is only one simple spiritual being which we call God, and that He is eternal, incomprehensible, invisible, immutable, infinite, almighty, perfectly wise, just, good, and the overflowing fountain of all good. The older version of our catechism used these exact words from the Belgic Confession in their answer. What does the fourth petition, "Give us this day our daily bread," mean? The answer: "Be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good." That's what the older version of the catechism said, and it jived with the Belgic Confession. The newer translation, "that You, O God, are the only source of everything good." The same truth. But you see, we lost the word fountain. But God is a fountain. An ever-flowing fountain. It flows from His throne. And by the Holy Spirit, the power of life, and the power of creation, of all things living. God is the one who made everything of nothing. We are the ones who would have nothing unless He gave it to us and continues His supply flowing moment by moment. The one to whom we pray is the overflowing fountain of all good. Now the question is then, do you live as though the fountain might go dry any day? Do you live as though the fountain might dry up here any minute or so? Stingy, selfish, grabbing for everything you can get? Or do you live with confidence and eagerness to give to others, which shows that you're connected? You have a direct personal connection to the overflowing fountain that will never run dry. Psalm 37 has something very interesting to say in this connection. The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. And you see this contrast set up again between the wicked and the righteous. There is much about our current economic system that is dedicated to achieving short-term prosperity at the cost of long-term debt. And that's going to come back to bite us and those who follow after us. We remember the words of the Bible, "The wicked borrows, but does not pay back." How wicked have we become as a nation with our trillions of dollars of debt? But the righteous is generous and gives. You see, instead of having everything coming in our direction, the righteous delight in being the conduit for blessing in the lives of others. The righteous are like sprinklers on the divine fountain, spreading God's gifts around. The righteous don't see themselves as the source of anything. The righteous also don't see themselves as being the sole recipients of anything. The righteous see everything given for the benefit of all, that the name of the overflowing fountain, the Lord God Himself, may be praised. So Christ has taught us to pray, "Our," you see. Plural, we are not only children and we are not alone in this request. Others are praying to the same Heavenly Father in heaven that their needs may be met as well. And the righteous delight in being used of God to meet those needs which others are praying for: food and clothing, building supplies, books and medicine, machinery, toys and tools, everything that we need. Our Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Christ taught us to use the word daily, so that we would limit ourselves to the allotted amount that we need. A young family with several children has very different daily needs than that of a retired couple in good health. And their needs are very different from those who are experiencing illness or disability or the effects of old age and now need full-time nursing care. Yet each one, everyone, appropriately prays, "Heavenly Father, give us this day our daily bread." And the word bread, though symbolic for all that is necessary to supply our physical needs, is still in itself basic enough to remind us not to pray at length for luxuries and extravagances. But here we should not misunderstand. Just because Jesus didn't teach us to pray for luxuries doesn't mean then that our Heavenly Father doesn't still delight to fill our lives with them. He is, after all, the overflowing fountain of all good. Still, this fourth petition of the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," teaches us contentment with bread. And it has this molding effect on our hearts, and that it makes us humble and grateful and careful consumers who exercise moderation in all things and acknowledge that we are but stewards who will be called to give an account of our stewardship of all that belongs to God. Beloved, God shapes the hearts and lives of His people by the prayers that we pray. May all of us have our minds and our hearts reformed and refashioned by praying this fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. And so discover to our delight that God has indeed granted to us the contentment of those who have learned the secret of a quiet spirit, the confidence of those who have the superior standing and blessedness of the righteous, and the commitment of those who have learned the joy of reliance on the divine fountain. This is ours, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we have heard it often, we have prayed it all our life, but Lord, we need it applied to our hearts, to our lives, to our minds now in this time. Lord, grant to us the quiet spirit of dependence that has learned reliance upon You. Lord, grant that we may not spend time fretting, but may resort to You in prayer. We praise You for the superior standing of the righteous, that even the little that we have is blessed by You, for it is accompanied by Your blessing, by the knowledge that it's been given to us by You because You love us, because You will care for us, that our needs are known to You, that You will always supply everything that we need, regardless of surrounding circumstances. Lord, we pray that our relationship to You may make us generous and giving, and that generosity and giving may overflow and become contagious, that others may come to know You too, the God from whom all blessings flow, and may come to trust You, and may come to a saving knowledge of You, and so may praise Your name and become a blessing to more and more people. Lord, this our prayer as we meditate, as we apply the meaning of what You've taught us. When You taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Number 267 is our song of response. Number 267, the three stanzas, All Who With Heart Confiding. Beloved, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Receive now the benediction. Beloved, pray without ceasing, rejoice always, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.